Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. And what a day we had yesterday. I think Kevin played the best round of golf I've ever seen him play. Played really, really well.
Thank you. I felt really good afterwards. And then all the muscles became sore later in the evening. And this morning.
I thought you played terrific.
I actually hit a few shots that made it look like I knew what I was doing. And then I'd hit a couple of more shots and reality would come in.
No, you played terrific. I thought you played really, really well. We had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs yesterday. And it was one of the truly great times. It's one of the reasons the two of us circle that date on the calendar. I mean, it's great for the two of us to get together like that, but also it's great for just to be there with Bonnie Wassmer, to be there with all the Purdies, to be there with everybody from, you know, Sunbury Motors. Judy Carr stopped by yesterday from Nottingham Village, which was great. We just had a great time yesterday.
Yeah, you know. I think I found another group that is going to be on the trip to Ireland, going to be playing golf while they're there as well.
Judy's going.
Yeah.
Well, Judy's going.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That was the other group. Yeah. I'll tell you
what. Looking forward to that very much.
If you go to Ireland and you don't play golf, or Scotland for that matter, you don't play golf, I don't know.
I'd love to find out where she's going to go. I kidded her about playing in a municipal course, which there are so many great ones there. But I'd love to know exactly where she's going to pick to go play.
I don't want to play St. Andrews, but I'd like to see it.
Well, Jack's going to play it.
Yeah, that's what you were saying yesterday. Jack's going to play
it. He's going over a week ahead of us. His next door neighbor is from Scotland, and they're going to go over. So
the closest thing I've ever played to St. Andrews, and it wasn't St. Andrews, but that was the idea for it. The link style was Wicked Stick down in South Carolina, the John Daly course.
Really, really nice. Yeah.
And that's the only course that I've ever been to that has reds, white tees, blue tees, and they call them the daily tees. Those are another 30 yards behind the championship tees.
Right.
I looked at that one time and I'm like, I'm not playing those tees.
No.
That's not going to happen.
Draft is tonight. I think the Steelers are going to take Kyle Fuller.
I would not be upset with that.
I'll tell you, you've talked a lot about Gilbert. You want to know what Gilbert's the knock on him is?
What's that?
Not a great tackler. And if you're going to be sitting in and playing for the Steelers, and they're going to put you on an island once in a while,
which they do,
you'd better tackle. I mean, you would better tackle.
I mean, they take a lot of risks in that defense.
Yeah, which is fine. I have no problem with them taking risks. I really don't.
Well, you have to have the personnel.
But I mean, I think that's where your team's going to go.
I would not be surprised with that. I also wouldn't be surprised if they went corner. It went with Denard from Michigan State. I know that's the name I've heard a lot.
Well, let's get Neil Coulong's take from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. All right, Neil, good to have you with us. Neil, all right, round one. Kevin and I have laid it out. Kyle Fuller, Virginia Tech. Darquez Denard, Michigan State. Gilbert, Oklahoma State. Who do you want?
Who do I want? Where? I'm assuming round one.
Round one.
To be honest with you, I think I think Fuller is their guy. I think he's the best fit for what the Steelers do defensively. He's not the athlete that Gilbert is, and to some degree, maybe not to what Denard is either, but he's a great all-around package for a zone cornerback, and if that makes him worth the 15th pick, then maybe they'll go with that. It's a toss-up, but in that case, yeah, Fuller.
I mean, Gilbert's probably the quickest of the three guys, but he is not a great tackler. And if you want to be playing for Dick LeBeau, you have to tackle after the catch.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, with Gilbert, it's shocking how much he reminds me of Antonio Cromartie. I mean, an absolute freak athlete, an Olympic level athlete. I mean, there's nothing physically that he's not able to do, but he really he has more of an offensive mindset.
Yeah.
Playing defense, which would explain, the amount of touchdowns that he received. But it looks to me more like he's a better special teams player, plus, maybe even a borderline safety. He just doesn't really have great cover skills. His technique isn't quite as polished as the other two are, and exactly what you said. He doesn't really want to step up and hit. He's not particularly, I wouldn't say he's timid. He just doesn't seem to know how to do it. And that's not something that's going to work in Pittsburgh.
My lean has been Denard the entire time, but now I'm more leaning toward Kyle Fuller. And the reason I am is this reason. The Steelers have had, 20 interceptions combined the last 2 years. Fuller is the kind of guy who has better ball skills than Denard.
Yeah, I think you can make that argument. At the very least, they're going to be comparable in a lot of ways. I mean, at the same time, Denard's playing off man. I mean, you're going to get probably a few more interception opportunities when you're playing that style of coverage. Fuller was Bill Moore in zone, and I believe they were comparable over the last two seasons in terms of takeaways. But more than anything, I mean, both of them are hitters, but Fuller looks to me more like that the combo safety slash cornerback, which is something the Steelers have really tried to load up with the last two, three seasons. I think he fits exactly what they're looking to have, what they need. Maybe not so much this year. I don't want to say that they're going to draft a corner to come in and start right away. That's probably not going to happen. But 2 years, 3 years down the line, I think he's going to fit. He'll fit that defense a lot better overall than Denard will.
All right, Neil. Thanks so much. Neil's going to join us tomorrow talking a little bit more about rounds 2 and 3, which will be tomorrow night. But we want to get his take on where he thinks the Steelers will go. You, ace Steeler fan, who will wear a hole in the rug tonight.
I will. But you know what? I don't think any of the three are going to be a terrible first-round pick for the Steelers, depending on where everybody falls. The only question I have about Gilbert is, will he still be there at 15? Because I think the Lions are looking cornerback too, and Lions come in at number 10, and I think they take either Gilbert or Fuller, and then the Steelers have to decide if whoever's left is better than Denard, who I think will still be on the board at that point too.
And you'll pace back and forth.
But you know what? This first round, I really am not that concerned about it, because I think the Steelers' first issue is corner, and I think they can easily take care of that in the first round, because I don't see an issue with many of the teams ahead of them picking a corner other than the Lions, which is why I said the other day, I wouldn't be stunned if they traded down, because I think they can trade down, maybe grab a couple of more picks or whatever, and still be able to get the guy, one of the three guys that I feel is on their board right now. I just don't know who that's going to be. We talked about this the other day. I thought the Eagles, but the Eagles don't have a whole lot to offer in the way of picks, so I don't know.
I don't know where you came up with that. The team that has the most to offer is San Francisco.
Well, I only said that because
San Francisco has, I mean, for the Steelers to trade down, the 49ers have 11 picks. They have 11 picks. And they know darn well that if they used all 11 picks, nearly half of them aren't even going to make their team, so they wasted their time.
Well, the reason I said the Eagles is because the Eagles were looking to move up.
Yeah, well, you got to have something to move up with.
Now, here's the other problem. Let's say you had mentioned the 49ers. if the Steelers do decide to go with the 49ers, the 49ers have pick 30. The Chargers are in there at 25, and the Chargers need a corner as well. That's where I think the problem lies with the Steelers dropping that far from 15 is, for the sake of argument, and most people think Gilbert's going to go to the Lions, that would put Fuller at San Diego at 25, and then the Steelers would have to really look by the time they hit pick 30.
And at that point, the Browns have already drafted
twice
enough guys to pass you out.
Yeah, they've already drafted twice, I'm hoping one of those is Manziel, but I don't see that happening. Although I was listening earlier today to Dan Patrick, and Manziel is being talked about in Dallas now at pick 16.
Well, they could talk all well. Romo's 34. Romo's coming off back surgery. All right,
and Romo's now, Romo.
Manziel's an interesting guy. There was not a team. I mean, we can talk Johnny football all we want. Hey, what schools in Texas were interested in signing Johnny Manziel?
Well, I don't even remember.
None.
Maybe that's why I don't remember.
you know what his primary contact was in terms of college football?
No.
Oregon. Oregon was the big suitor for him, and then he stepped into Texas A&M. Now he goes to Texas A&M. He redshirts his first year. Right? He went in as the third team quarterback his Heisman year, you know.
I do remember that part of it.
In the preseason, he was third team quarterback. And then he accelerates, gets up, wins the Heisman, then has himself a really good year last year. This is a guy who's been trying to prove himself the entire time and has not had the football silver spoon in his mouth until recently. So he doesn't have quite the pedigree that the Lux of the world have had, where they've always carried themselves that they were going to be that kind of guy.
Well,
I think Clowney, I think, is going to be the first pick by Houston.
It would have seemed that way.
All right. They will play him in a 3-4 outside. I will say this about Clowney. I think one of the things that bothers the average football fan and those who follow the game is that Clowney is not a type A personality. I will tell you that with immense talent, there are a lot of people who are type B personalities that are extremely successful in the world. You don't have to be the, you know, all out 24/7, and that's the only way to succeed in the world. He has immense talent. When he applies it, he's really good. And I know people that have been around him that say he's a good teammate, he's good in the locker room, and actually works hard in the practice field. That's enough for me. I'd pick him.
Well, let me go back to Manziel in Dallas. Which would be more fun from the standpoint that you and I have about talking about this than Johnny Manziel going to Dallas and then come August talk about a quarterback controversy in Dallas before either one of them takes an official snap for the season? Because you know darn well that Dallas fans are only going to put up with Romo for a little bit before they start calling for Johnny Manziel to come into the game.
And that actually is the biggest problem with Johnny Manziel. He's a lot like Tim Tebow. He comes in, to be frank with you, and most times they make the incumbent worse. And the reason the incumbent becomes worse is because they start looking over their shoulder and they press. And Tebow wasn't good enough. And Manziel gives you doubts as to whether he's good enough.
I agree with that. But there might be just enough of an opportunity there for him in Dallas.
We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 to 15, Hummelsworth. Great to see Tom and the gang out yesterday at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We had a great time yesterday. We thank everyone there for the incredible hospitality. News is next. Then more on the NFL draft coming up. Thomas Frank Carr and his mock draft next.
In May, Sunbury Motors Kia's launch to savings is as easy as
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We wanna see you in Kia, Sunbury Motors Kia.
$5,000 off the International Car of the Year, the 2014 Luxury Cadenza. Four, up to $4,000 off 2015 Sirena, starting at $22,913. And there's 23 to choose from. Three, Sunbury Motors Kia has up to $3,000 off 2014 all-wheel drive Sportages, starting at $22,497. Two, up to $2,000 off the iconic five-star safety-rated Kia Soul. Sunbury Motors Kia has 20 of them.
One,
we are the number one selling Kia dealer in a 50-mile radius
because we put our customers first.
Combined with 70 new Kias to choose from and a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, why go anywhere else but Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf
at sunburymotors.com.
Active tags extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. KMF bonus cash and financing well qualified customers.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back, Thursday edition, and the NFL draft. Round number one coming up tonight. Kevin has been pacing back and forth. What are the Steelers going to do? They'll do what they do, Kevin. They'll do what they do. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio after the great day that Kevin and I had yesterday over at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Kevin played very well yesterday. The group played well. Mark Mahoney played great. Dick Hort played really well. And Kevin, it's the best I've seen Kevin play, period. And all the times that we've played golf together, it's the best he's played. We had a great time yesterday. Above all, we were thrilled about the turnout of 180 golfers. Great layout, the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, which was a great host for us to be there for yesterday. We enjoyed it very, very much out on the patio. Saw Judy Carr from Nottingham and Tom and the gang from Sunbury Motors. They went by. The Purdy's. I saw Adam. I saw Craig. And I know I'm leaving somebody else out. But, you know, and the entire group. Steve joined us for a period of time on the show yesterday. Bonnie Wassmer joined us on the show for a period of time yesterday. We just had a great time. It shows you how tight-knit the Valley really is. 180 come together, Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. I just thought yesterday was a very, very special day, one that I enjoyed. I already have next year's date circled. Can't wait to come back for that. But the NFL draft is tonight, round number one. And the NFL, again, has brilliantly done this. They've taken essentially a small part of what they do, and they've turned it into a huge production. And we have several draft experts we're going to hear from here over the next hour and a half to lead you into the NFL draft, including our friend from Charlie Campbell from WalterFootball.com. We'll get him in as well to talk about this. But Thomas Frank Carr is another local draft expert. I'm talking he's put a lot of time into putting together a draft, a mock draft, and so forth, although you seem a little more obsessed with my little accident the other day and what it looks like, bud.
It's on the other side of you, so when you turned around to look at me, I just saw you have a Band-Aid on your head and like, whoa, what happened?
Check out the black eye.
Yeah, he's got a black eye. It looks like you got in a fight with Floyd Mayweather last night or something.
Yeah, no. It really comes down to Paul Keel's the Ohio State play-by-play guy, and I got into it a little bit about, you know, who's the better coach, Urban Meyer or James Franklin. You should see Keel's. I won.
I'll send him some flowers. How about that?
No. Forget that. Okay, let's get to the top of the draft. It's hard to anticipate. To me, while a lot of people look at the Texans, I think another key team to look in this is the St. Louis Rams, because mm-hmm. they have extensively worked out Johnny Manziel. Yet I still sense they're going to go for Robinson, the big offensive tackle, and it's still open for the Browns to get Manziel.
I put out my mock draft yesterday, and I pretty much the first thing I say about it is that this is not right. because there are going to be at least two trades in the top 10.
Okay, how do you do it? Do you do it on what your opinion is as to who they should pick, or a feel as to what they're thinking and they're going to pick?
Well, I don't have access to a lot of the, you know, people that, you know, a lot of draft experts on a national level have access to those people and can get kind of their feelings and thoughts.
Right.
I go a lot based on what I've heard.
Okay.
And then a large part of it is my belief in the player and the positional fit and the need for the team.
Okay. Is it now a Kyle Fuller Steelers pick? That's the latest one everyone's talking about. Kyle Fuller.
You know, that's way too high for Kyle Fuller.
I agree.
If they were my board and my draft, there is no way I would take Kyle Fuller at 15. If they wanted to trade down and that's who they were targeting, because they have multiple holes, on, you know, and they wanted to trade down, I could see them getting Kyle Fuller later in the draft. I do have him in the first round, but I have them getting Justin Gilbert at 15. Partially to make my Steelers friends happy, but also because I think that there are some holes in Justin Gilbert's game, and he has the potential to slide on draft day.
I think it's Darquez Dennard. I really believe that he's the guy, because I think he fits what Dick LeBeau wants. He wants an island corner that they can just say, okay, he's over there, forget about him, turn loose the hounds at the other spots. I still say he's the leader in the clubhouse.
You know, I like Dennard. I do. He just lacks a little bit of the overall athleticism for the position. And the higher ceiling is the guy that, like Gilbert, who has, you know, the ability to be an all-around corner. Because they do play a zone blitzing scheme. Sometimes they do need them to drop in a zone. And it's going to be a transition for Dennard.
Right.
That will take time. That's not something you can learn overnight.
The Eagles... When Chip Kelly came here, Chip Kelly was not here to look at anybody else except Allen Robinson. Now, I'm not saying Robinson's their first round pick.
No.
Okay. But it does, and when he went down to Texas A&M, everybody said, "Oh my goodness, the Eagles are looking at Johnny Manziel." No, they were looking at the guy catching the ball. Okay?
Exactly.
Mike Evans. So what did the Eagles do at one, knowing that it's a wide receiver deep draft, and they could still get 1 and 2.
Well, they need help on defense at a lot of different positions. Corner is a big need for them, but also they need to shore up their defensive front seven. And given that there isn't a receiver that I really think fits what they want, because they want a bigger receiver. You mentioned two big guys, Allen Robinson 6'3", and you have Mike Evans at 6'4", 6'5".
Right.
Those are the type of receivers. They run a lot of screens, a lot of spread option stuff. You need a bigger receiver who can block. That's part of why they got rid of DeSean Jackson. That's what I was saying from the beginning, is he didn't necessarily fit what they wanted. I went with Stephon Tuitt. I mean, he was very good. Don't get me wrong. He was a very good receiver. But when you can...
If I'm Santana Moss, I'm doing the dance for joy today. Okay? Because guess what? His role just... He may not be the number one guy in their offense, but the domino of the attention that Jackson gets is going to make him better.
Absolutely.
Right.
He's got about maybe 6-8 games left where he's really a contributor.
No doubt.
I have the Eagles getting Stephon Tuitt from Notre Dame defensive end in their system. He's a big-bodied guy, really active against the run, plays well against the run, not really as much of a pass-rushing threat, but I feel like that's just due to a lack of coaching. Chip Kelly did have a very good front seven at Oregon. If you want to look at, you know, past events and past players and past systems that he had, he had a very good front seven. He has a couple good pieces, but they're missing another five technique defensive end, someone they can plug in and they can stop the run and free up Trent Cole and their outside rushers. So that's why I have them getting to it. They can get another receiver in the second round. And they can even address cornerback later on. But the best remedy for their horrible pass defense is just put the quarterback on his back. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers model. So if you can pressure the quarterback, you don't need to cover the receivers for 5-6 seconds. 3 seconds max. So that's why I have them building their front seven with their first overall pick. And that they're another team that could trade down. If there's a quarterback there and someone wants to jump up and get, say, Derek Carr, they're a team that I think could trade down. The Arizona Cardinals, another one. I have them just missing out on the last offensive tackle. They need a tackle.
Yep.
And right before then, the last offensive tackle goes. So those two players, those two positions, I should say, I think are two positions where trades could happen and they could be bowing out of the first round.
All right. So let's go through the top 10.
Top 10. Okay. All right.
Houston's on the clock. They take
Khalil Mack, outside linebacker, Buffalo.
Still say they take Clowney.
I think Clowney has the higher ceiling, but when I watch the tape on Khalil Mack, I have not seen a more complete outside linebacker come out of the draft in recent memory. He reminds me of Terrell Suggs, but he's a more complete player than Terrell Suggs coming out of out of college.
No, no, and Mack is a guy they talk about down in Houston. This is not an off the wall.
No,
but there's talk they can trade down to get him, too.
And that's kind of why I gave them Khalil Mack and I didn't give them to Jadeveon Clowney, because I feel they're going to end up with Khalil Mack. They're going to end up with Khalil Mack, or I still think they might want Blake Bortles. In the back of my mind, I still want to give them Blake Bortles just because of the O'Brien-O'Leary connection. And he was very effusive of praise of Blake Bortles, unbidden, in his press conference before and after the game against UCF this last year.
Okay. Now, the Redskins pick... Oh, I'm sorry. They gave that pick away. It's the Rams picking at two. Okay, now this becomes the pivotal what do we do with Johnny Manziel pick.
I don't think they're thinking Johnny Manziel. I still don't... I mean, I think that it's out there and they were kicking the tires around, but they still have a big commitment to Sam Bradford. So I have them going with Sammy Watkins out of Clemson. Plus, I personally don't believe in Sammy or in Johnny Manziel. So
he speaks very highly of you.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. He likes my work on social media, right, Steve? I know you're a big social media guy.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm almost the king of social media.
I gave him Sammy Watkins.
The only social media I believe in is when I hear something, we got better. Okay. Now, that one I believe in when I see it. Everything else I don't.
So I gave them Sammy Watkins because there are two top-tier wide receivers in this
and
class.
And Watkins is no doubt one of them.
Watkins is no doubt one of them. And they can still, at 13, pick up a tackle in the first round. They need a tackle. They need a receiver. As far as the top of the draft goes, there are three tackles and there are two receivers. So just by a numbers game, I gave them Sammy Watkins.
Now we get to the three J's. Juggernaut, Jacksonville Jaguars.
And they get another J, Jadeveon Clowney.
Well,
he falls to three.
They would improve themselves if they did that. There's no question about that.
Gus Bradley, defensive coordinator from Seattle. What did he have? He had multiple pass rushers.
Well, rotating
front seven. They've gotten very good on the front seven. Yeah. Jadeveon Clowney enters the picture, and I think it really builds an impressive front seven in Jacksonville.
Cleveland Browns.
This is my first. This is another one of those picks where I'm projecting my opinion on this draft.
They're picking Johnny Manziel.
If they do, it's a mistake. I gave them Blake Bortles because, again, what Mike Pettine has said in the past is that he thinks it's not ideal to take a quarterback at four overall. He'd rather have a skill position player, which is either Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans in a lot of people's minds. But when have you ever gotten a skill position player and then change the fortune of your franchise? I'll say it over and over again. You need a quarterback.
Let me put it to you this way. Okay. What has kept the Cleveland Browns from succeeding with actually a decent defense, a great wideout, a great left tackle? I mean, you look at some of the key ingredients that you need to have.
Yeah.
The Browns, you need to have in today's game, in the pros, okay, a left tackle, a shutdown corner, rush end. Okay. Well, they have all that.
They do.
Except for the fourth part, quarterback.
Number one position in football.
Okay.
Number one position in football. And that's why I gave him Bortles. I think
they're going for Johnny Manziel. I think they want a playmaker.
He is
the single most creative player in this draft. Now, they may have to cart him out after week 10, but...
And then we're back to Brian Hoyer, and everyone in Pittsburgh is happy.
Hoyer looked pretty good when he played last year.
He did. But also, remember, we just talked about all the great pieces they have around him. If you can get a good quarterback, and they have another first-round pick later in the draft where they can pick up another receiver. And they can really complete that offense.
Yeah, they go opposite Josh Gordon.
I still, for me, I understand that, you know, they're a lure to Manziel. Yeah. But again, this is where I project Blake Bortles is the best.
Oh, no. You have to do what you're doing.
Give him four.
I'm having fun here. So let's say, what about five?
Five, it's a height, weight, speed pick. And Greg Robinson in Oakland Raiders uniform makes a lot of sense.
Yes, it does.
They could trade down. This is an interesting spot. There's been a lot of rumors that the Raiders may trade down. A dark horse team to trade up would be the Bills at nine. I don't believe that they think there's a guy that they want at nine. There's a lot of reports that they're very enamored with Sammy Watkins and either Greg Robinson or Jake Matthews.
Right.
So if they get up to five, they can have their pick in the way my draft board breaks down of Robinson or Matthews.
The Atlanta Falcons are sitting there at six. They want Clowney.
They want Clowney, and they may trade up to number one overall pick. I don't think that's a good idea, though. They're not one player away from making the playoffs again. They have holes at tight end, at right tackle, at left tackle, and defensive end. They need a lot. They can't afford to trade away their entire draft to get one player. They'd be much smarter to stay where they are, shore up one position, and get it's a deep draft of pass rushers.
Yeah.
There's only one Jadeveon Clowney, but only one Jadeveon Clowney only impacts the game from one position.
Right. I mean, physically, he is a 10. Mm-hmm. The ticker gives you makes you wonder if he's a 3 or 4.
Well, so I think the stuff about his work ethic is largely overblown. I think there are questions. There are questions. But
I just watched an entire season, okay?
Uh-huh.
Where you I watched an entire season where look how he affects the game. Like, I'm watching it, I'm not seeing it.
He has work. He has work. And that's why, again, he's got the overall ceiling, but there's work that needs to be done with him.
Hey, now we get Tampa Bay. I assume it's Evans.
It's Mike Evans, yeah. And I'm not sold on this pick either. I think this is the most fluid top 10 that we've had in a very long time. Yeah. Mike Evans fits the system, but do you really think Lovie Smith, a defensive coach, a guy who built his defense through the draft, his defensive emphasis will take a wide receiver as his number one overall pick, as his first pick that he makes as, you know, head coach, GM? I'm not sold on it.
Well,
but it's just such a glaring need.
But you know what? You play offense based on your defense. Mm-hmm. You also play defense based on your offense.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I mean, that's one of the single most underrated things people think. Blitz, go at him. You know, like, if your offense can't score points, you can't defensively blitz as often because you can't take as many risks.
No.
If you have an offense that can ring up some points, you could take more risks because, look, if it goes by the board, your offense can get it back for you.
Now, this is the man who made it to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman. So, I mean, but he had one of the best defenses of the last 20 years.
Exactly, exactly right. So. All right, so now we get to the Vikings. Now, they've actually talked about Manziel as well.
Mm-hmm. And I have him going at 8 to Minnesota.
I can't believe they don't see Christian Ponder.
They have such a need at quarterback. They are a quarterback away from being a playoff team. They have been ever since they got Adrian Peterson.
Right. What about the Toronto Bills? Just kidding.
In 6 months, they may have a new owner. Now, they may have a stadium in Niagara Falls and not in Buffalo, but they'll still be in town. I have them going with Taylor Lewan, tackle out of Michigan.
Okay.
This is a position where a lot of things can happen, and I wrote this in my mock draft. If they go with Eric Ebron and not Taylor Lewan, this creates a domino effect where the Steelers might not get to pick between the top two corners.
Yeah.
Because if Ebron's not on the board, the Lions at the next pick would either go with Gilbert or with Denard, because Ebron is just such a talent that you can't ignore it. And put him with Megatron, that is an offense to be afraid of.
Right. One more. Man, that's number 10, the Detroit Lions.
And I have them taking Eric Ebron.
Okay.
They go with him. You don't need a third receiver, really, when you have Eric Ebron, because he's your slot guy. You have Pettigrew, who can be your inline tight end. You can flex out Eric Ebron.
Yeah.
He makes the most ridiculous catches look easy.
Odell Beckham is a guy that's springboarded up. Is that somebody the Eagles consider?
They can consider him all they want. I have him going at 12. Yeah. They would have to trade up very high to get him. I think he is a special player.
You have him going to the Giants.
Yes.
Hmm. And then the Steelers draft at 15. That's what 8-8 teams do.
I could see them going with a defensive lineman as well, to be honest with you. They might take Stephon Tuitt as well, or Aaron Donald out of Pitt. One of those one-gap penetrating guys, mm-hmm. someone who's good against the run. Shore up that front seven, because they weren't good against the run last year, and that's been their calling card for the last 25 years.
I mean, it's your draft a quarterback, bag the guy they got now.
Yeah, I mean, you could trade. No, just kidding. You could trade Roethlisberger. I mean, we've seen crazier things happen, right?
Just kidding, Steeler fans. Just kidding. Really, really. Get back. All you with weapons, get back. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Time is Frank Carr. Joining us here in the Sunbury Motor Studio to talk about tonight's NFL draft with round one coming up tonight and rounds two and three coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow, one of the more entertaining shows of the year where Kevin panics over the number one pick. And then what it does, the domino, is that he then panics over picks two and three. There really isn't. There aren't many shows more fun than that. All right, we'll come back with more. Second hour of the show, news top of the hour. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.